Truly, that should be our goal this morning, to walk in the paths of our Savior. That's what we were called to do. And that's the fundamentals of Christianity. Too often, those ideas are lost. We see that so much all around us, people. The modern Christianity is taking on more and more of humanism than following Jesus. We're called in His steps to do what he would do. That should be the goal of our lives, to follow in the steps of our Savior, walking in the light. We just thank God for that light. We thank the Lord that when we were in darkness, that light shone into our hearts. Even though it condemned us, it was still the truth, that we might turn from our darkness to that light. We just praise the Lord for that. Turn in your Bibles to John 15. John chapter 15, verse 1. I am the vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it might bring forth more fruit. Now, ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. I want to look at these verses just a little bit. What I want to talk about is fruit this morning. We'll get into fruit in Galatians. It gives us a list of fruit, and we'll go through that in a little bit. But I want to show you a foundation here of what it takes to bear fruit. Jesus said in Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Today's gospel leaves us without even a foundation to bear fruit, the modern gospel. It leaves us in a place where we're not even able to be considered part of the branch. What does it mean to abide in Jesus? In 2 John chapter 2, begin in verse 6, and this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver, an antichrist. I want you to notice something here. We can take this, and people use this as a test often, that if you just ask someone, is Jesus come in the flesh? And if they say yes, then most people will just say, oh, well, you must be a true Christian and you're not a deceiver. That's basically a test for modern Christianity. One time a man, I was preaching, and he wanted me to try the spirits. And he said he was going to speak in a tongue and pray. And while he was doing that, I was supposed to ask him, is Jesus come in the flesh? And if he could say yes while he was speaking in these tongues, then that was supposed to convince me that he was of God. And I told him, I'm not even going to take your test, because that would be tempting God. We had been talking for about an hour, and he denied many of the teachings of Jesus. So there was no value in me trying to be proven by this foolish little question that I was going to ask him to prove anything. And so I told him, no, I won't do that. That'd be trying the spirits. That'd be not trying the spirits, but that'd be tempting God to do that, because I already know what spirit you're of. I've tried the spirits by how you are following the scriptures and how you view the scriptures and how you look at them. The test has already been made. I don't have to just ask you this question. So that is not what this is saying here. That's not the question. Now, we do believe that Christ has come in the flesh, that God came down from heaven and took on man, but he came as the Word of God. And his words cannot be separated from who he is. It says in verse 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Look to yourselves, that ye lose not these things that ye have wrought, which ye have wrought, but that ye receive a full reward. I want you to look at verse 9 here. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. How do you test a deceiver? Do you ask him a question? Are you coming? Is Jesus come in the flesh? He that abideth not in the doctrine of God hath not God. You can't make that any plainer. If we're not walking in the doctrine of God, we don't have God. There's your test. This young man we're talking with and that we've been visiting with over the phone the last few days, he saw the little video they'd made of us and he watched that video. And he said he was just rejoicing to see these teachings being preached in public and out in the open. And he saw how everyone was opposing them. And he was just rejoicing that the doctrine of God was being taught. And his spirit was happy. His spirit was bearing witness with our spirit. And that's what people don't understand. Many people say, oh, you're condemning everyone. You're condemning us. And you're condemning other people by your teachings. Well, if those teachings are condemning you, you hath not God. Whenever I see someone preaching truth, I get encouraged by it. Don't see it very often, but when I do, it excites me. It's a blessing. It's not a, oh, those poor people you're condemning. It's a blessing to see the commandments of God being produced or being brought, being preached. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. There's a promise. There it is. Just like what Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, in John. Verse 10 says, and if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine. What doctrine is he bringing? The teachings of Christ. If someone comes to you and brings not the teachings of Christ, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. He's a deceiver and an antichrist. Someone who just comes along and says that you can be saved without keeping the doctrines or the teachings of Christ, what does the Bible call them here? Deceivers and antichrist. Many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. And these words fit today, the modern gospel, just as closely as anything I know. Heard this week of a local so-called Christian school in the fourth grade. The fourth grade teacher having a bunch of nine-year-olds in there. One of the part of the lesson of the day or the homework for the day was to tell how you got saved. how it was when you got saved to 9-year-olds. Fully expecting that every one of them would tell how they got saved. One little boy in the class said, "I'm not saved." By the way, he had already been baptized. And he had already gone through the little motion. But he knew, "I'm not saved." So the teacher said, "Well, okay, you come up here. Come up here." Brought him up there and said, "Case, say this prayer." And read him the sinner's prayer. And he followed along with it. And then she patted him on the head and said, "Okay, now you're saved. Go write your paper." What's a deceiver and an antichrist? What are you doing to these little ones? Praise the Lord. The boy went home and said, "I'm still not saved." But how quick people want to lure people into deception. Being a deceiver and an antichrist. Sister was in the funeral at her aunt's funeral. We talked about a little bit. Everyone is going around trying to comfort everyone. "Oh, she's in a better place. She's in a better place." Lived an ungodly life. How many times have we been to funerals and saw how people lived? And then someone comes along and said, "Oh, but they were saved when they were 9 years old or they were 13 years old. They accepted Jesus as their Savior." And then the funeral is trying to convince everyone in there that's living like they do, that they're in a better place, trying to convince each other. They're deceivers and antichrist. Anyone that doesn't bring the doctrines of Christ, the teachings of Christ, and abide in them is a deceiver and an antichrist. What Jesus is talking about here in John chapter 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you." What's the word? Christ's teachings. The teachings of Christ. How do we abide in that? Verse 10 says, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love." We hear that. There's your foundation. There's the seed. Many people keep a lot of the teachings of Jesus. See, we can keep those teachings and appear for a while to be disciples. What those teachings are is the church. The church is to be teaching those things. It's almost like the parable of the wheat and the tares. They've laid a foundation here of the teachings. And Jesus said, "Don't tear up the tares, lest while doing so, you'll pull up some wheat also. Later on, they'll produce fruit, and then we can see what they are. Some people can appear to be Christians, but sooner or later, their fruit will reveal them. We should nurture, encourage, help people to produce fruit. This is the foundation. This is the seed. This is the ground being prepared. That we do those things that we can do. I ask the question sometimes. There's things that you can do that you just choose not to do. I'll just use the covering for an example. Is there anything that stops you from being able to put a covering on your head? Anything? I mean, is there some spiritual power that just will not let you reach up and put a covering on your head? No. It's something you just simply can do if you will do it. Now, what about growing fruit? Can you grow fruit like you just put a covering on your head? No. See the difference? If we're not willing to do the most simple things that we can do, that which really separates the real disciple, the real follower, is producing fruit. We can put on the outward form of Christianity, and that's the simple basis that we've tried to maintain in the church. God has an outline of the church and the teachings, the basic teachings of the doctrines of Christ. And if we won't even agree to them, we're not a part of the church. It may take some effort, and it may take a choice, but it's things that we can do if we want to. I thought about, you know, there's a lot of talk about being converted and being born again. All that simply is I'm going to start following Jesus. I'm going to obey Him instead of myself. And so when I read these things in the Bible, what it says that I ought to be doing, I'm going to just quit doing them. And began putting them into practice. Those things that I can do. And if we'll do those things that we can do, that are right in front of us, then we can go on. But we've got to lay that foundation first. When they came to John the Baptist, he said, "Bring forth fruit meet for repentance." What did he mean by that? There the word fruit is different fruit the fruit of the Holy Spirit is. The fruit of repentance is, if I've done something wrong, I'm going to go back and fix it. And it's within our power to do it. We may have whoever we've done wrong can be found. That's a very foundation of Christianity. That's a real sign or a real fruit of repentance. Going back and fixing what I've done wrong. If I've tore something up, go back and repair it. If I've taken something from someone, go give it back to them. It's things that we can do. Restoration. A foundation. That's the beginning of getting into Christ. That's the beginning. That's laying the foundation for seeds to be planted. How do you grow fruit? How do you grow fruit? You can't just put it on your head. How do you grow something? If you start a garden, what do? You plow the ground. You turn it up and you get the ground ready. You lay a foundation. You till the ground. You might have to cut out some stumps. You might have to tear up some stuff to get the ground clean. That's what the Word of God does. Prepares the soil. That's why there was a John the Baptist at the front. John the Baptist out there with an axe cutting down stumps and roots. Digging in the soil, tearing things up. Making straight the path. For what? To prepare the way of the Lord. It's what an evangelist is supposed to be doing. An evangelist is not some smooth talker that convinces you that you need to be saved so that you can go to heaven and wear a 7-decker crown and walk around on streets of gold. An evangelist is out there with a plow and an axe, clearing out the brush, preaching against sin. That's what an evangelist does. He's got to clear a path before you can start planting seeds. Before the doctrines can be planted. It's got to get things turned around. Get it cleared out to where we can plant some seed in the first place. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. We repent, then we begin to keep his commandments. We begin to follow. We get the ground broke up. And we can begin to plant some seeds. I spent most of my early life pretending that I was being a Christian because somebody told me to say the sinner's prayer, and I knew in my heart that I wasn't right with God. That's the heart of most people who doubt their salvation, is because there's a little bit of light left. The world's full of treacherous, deceitful evangelists, so-called, and preachers trying to put that light out with all their might to convince you that you're just all right when your heart's crying out, no, you're not. This little prayer didn't mean anything. You're still living wretchedly. You're still living for yourself. I pictured myself, I could see myself as a tree. And I had things growing up all over. Fruit growing. Whenever I was growing up, I had problems with swearing. So I would try to shake that fruit off because I knew it wasn't right, although it was all around me. So I might quit doing that for a while, and then poof, over here another fruit would grow. Lust. I knew that wasn't right, so I'd try to shake that off. And then, bang, here comes addiction to tobacco. And then here, covetousness growing over here. And I just spent all my life trying to shake all this stuff off. I needed a John the Baptist to say the axe needs to be laid to the root of the trees. But everyone just said, no, you're a Christian. You said that prayer. All those things are just covered up. But they were fruit. And it wasn't until the axe got laid to the very root of the tree that all those things began just to wither away and die. And I began to follow the Lord. And as I began to follow the Lord, those things just began falling off. They just began falling off. And other things began to grow. Let's turn to Galatians chapter 5. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If we have not the Spirit of God, we are none of His. Romans chapter 8 says. If you walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the law are manifest. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, and heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and the such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you also in times past, that they which do things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. There's that bad fruit. we abide in Christ and His love abides in us, we will bring forth good fruit. We're going to have to make this a two-parter, I think. Because if I can't really start in this without it being a, and give it any justice. But it lays the foundation. And it needs to be laid to bring forth fruit. We have to have the right foundation. We've got to get the garbage cleared away and get down to the good soil. And if we have these things still growing in our heart and in our life, we need to turn from them. We need to let the axe be laid to the root. We need to bring forth the fruit of repentance. Show evidence. Many people, a real fundamentalist, will go through here and believe that you can't do those things. But Jesus said it's not just not doing those, it's bringing forth fruit that shows who His disciples are. Lord willing, next week we'll talk about those fruits, that fruit, and how to produce it. Fruit doesn't just magically appear. And that's somehow, we've got that idea that if we're just going to walk and be a Christian, all of a sudden fruit's going to start appearing in our life. And so many people, just like people who think they're Christians, well, I can't do anything about it, so I'll just ask Jesus to save me and now I'll be saved. And then once they get saved, they say, well, I can't do anything about it until God starts producing fruit in my life. So I'll sit here without fruit. They're both wrong. To get right with the Lord, God's waiting on us to repent and to produce fruit. Guess who God's waiting on? He's waiting on us. We'll get into that a little bit later. That'll give you a foundation, something to think on through the week. Father, we come before You. We just want to thank You for Your goodness and for Your mercy to us. Help us, Lord, I pray, to be faithful. Lord, we just want to again thank You for what You've done. Fill us, Lord, with Your Spirit. Teach us, Lord, Your ways, Lord, that we might bring forth fruit, Father. Lord, we just ask that You guide us in Jesus' name.